Yeah.
This meeting of the Library Advisory Commission is called order. I have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Dexter.
Here.
Vice Chair Tracy Prue.
Here.
Commissioner Gorson.
Here.
Commissioner Campos.
Here.
Chair Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Gert. Absent.
Okay, we have a call. Item two is to approve the agenda of July 25th, 2016.
I move we approve. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Item three, oral communications. Would every member of the audience like to address an item that is not on this meeting agenda? Seeing none, I will move on to item four, the consent agenda. There is one item to approve the minutes of June 27th, 2016.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Item five, member reports. Are there any members that have reports? All right.
Capitola Library Friends report. We're beginning to look at our fundraising strategy. We have received some advice from Lance Menares of the Community Foundation, so we started collecting information about it, when we should start, what our approach should be. We're also planning some tours of other libraries that have been recently built. We want to bring them here, because they haven't been here, and get a tour of Los Gatos, which I actually haven't been to, but here is really, really nice. And then some of the newer libraries over in San Jose and the Peninsula, to just get people aware of what libraries can be. So that'll be fun. And we're going to coordinate with the Capitola Library Advisory Committee in doing that, so we can sort of all go together to those libraries and so that should be fun. I'll move on to Capitola Library Advisory Committee. The city is in the process of hiring a project manager, and I believe the recommendation will be going to City Council this Thursday for approval, so hopefully they'll approve and we'll have a project manager. And then we'll move on, the city will move on to identifying an architect. And public input is scheduled for the fall time frame, once we've got our architect on board. That's it.
Thank you. Any other members? Okay. Moving on to item six, the library director report.
Hi. Again, I'm Susan Nemitz. I think I've met all of you. And I am not used to working with an advisory board, so I hope that this can be a bit of a conversation, because I think we need to adjust to each other to make sure that this is a meaningful and useful experience for you. I wanted to start with a part of a presentation that we're hoping to give to the JPA on Thursday. Primarily, we were given a series of financial questions, and I wanted to talk through them. And before the end of the hour, I was hoping to also present to the JPA my sort of 3 and 6 month plan. There's a lot of activities going on, and I'm trying to prioritize what has to happen first. And I was hoping to go through that with you and get some feedback about whether you think that matches your own priorities. So I want to start first with this presentation, which really is a forecast document. And you can click through to probably. I'm going to go relatively fast if you want. The library is primarily funded, and I think many of you know this probably better than I do, through MOE, which is property taxes through the county. The MOE amount is negotiated through the LFA, and it has been negotiated into the future, I think, for 5 years, and it's relatively flat. So as we look forward into 2020, any growth that we receive in our budget is likely to come from sales tax. We were working with the city, and we want to test it against the county and other cities' projections to look at the amount We believe sales tax will increase, and you can see they've chosen a relatively conservative approach to sales tax projections. I think, though, if you read economic forecasts throughout the state and the country, what people are projecting is a downturn in the economy over the next 2 years, not the Great Recession, but a scaling back. And so we believe that that's probably consistent with a projected downturn. We just got a note as I was leaving that sales tax revenue for this past year is coming in higher than we anticipated, so that's good news. If you can go to the next slide. This just sort of translates those percentages into cash. So you can see between fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17, it generates about $200,000 more. And then if you can go to the next slide. We wanted to also start talking a little bit about our potential expenditures. The two areas within our budget that are projected to grow significantly over the next several years are the health insurance and our retirement. And you can see that they're expected to grow significantly over the next several years. If you go to the next, I just wanted to show you some projections of our materials spending. I think these are important questions. Often in tough times, the collections budget gets reduced. You can see looking backwards where that happened significantly in 2009. You know, it was half of what we're spending right now. I looked nationally through ALA at public libraries, and the average in the last year studied was that collection should be about 11.4% of your total budget. So we're still shy of where we'd ultimately like to get to. The next. This is really looking at gains against projected expenditures. And you can see that at the end of next summer, we'll be okay. But we're going to start experiencing increases in our deficits over time. And it's really a result of those operating costs exceeding the revenue that will be made available. I want to go on to the next one. I think there's some added things we need to talk about. There's been two studies done trying to bring staffing levels and public service hours back to 2011 levels. This is an old estimate, but there was an estimate that it would cost about $220,000 a year. Bringing it back to 2008 hours would cost about $690,000 a year. I would like to go back and review that data in light of some of the things that have changed. But those are a little bit mind-numbing figures. And then to add to that, I'm just going to depress you right now. The next slide. One of the things I was really surprised at when I came to California is how far we allow our facilities to become shabby. And to how far we allow health and life safety issues to last. I would also add accessibility issues to that. You know, in the 21st century, I would expect the facilities to be in better shape than they are. I think there's a lot of competing priorities. I worked in higher education for many years, and the same thing would happen where the operating costs of an educational institution, you know, teaching, would be prioritized and the facility would be neglected. But after years and years of doing that, there's a price to pay. And I know we're getting this huge influx of money, but there are standards out there. BOMA is Building Owners and Managers Association. NACUBO is National Association of College and University Budget Officers. They tend to create measures of operating costs that you should be allocating per square foot so that the facilities never decline to this level. And I know that this is sort of an optimistic need when we're looking at some of the needs we've just talked to, but I think we don't want to wait 30 years to invest in our facilities again, because truthfully it will be hard to build and furnish 30-year buildings. In addition to sort of bringing our spending per square foot up, we also are looking at adding potentially 20,000 square feet and utilities alone and janitorial are going to have an impact on us. In my old organization, we budgeted about $9.50 a square foot. So you start doing $10 a square foot times 20,000 additional square feet. We're talking a $200,000 bill for that. The next slide. I'll get into this in a minute. So I'm not trying to depress everybody. I am so excited about the facilities. And you can build facilities to save costs. I took one building that was 40,000 square feet, we doubled the size, and we reduced the electrical consumption just through green practices. And we looked really closely at the productivity of staff and what we were asking them to do. You know, if you have three entry points where books are delivered or dropped off versus one, it adds to the staff workload. So I really think there's enormous amount of things we can do just in redoing these facilities that will allow us to make progress on some of those growing costs. But I also have to say that inevitably, if we have these beautiful buildings, the use of the buildings are going to grow, the pressure on ours is going to grow, and just the use of the carpet and the chairs and everything is going to grow. And I want to make sure that we are talking about those costs and not building something we can't afford. And as we build, are conscious of making really good decisions in our community. Does anyone have a question about that?
About this in general?
Yeah, just the forecast.
I do.
Okay.
That's okay. So one of the things we're blessed with here in the library system is to have Marcus, who presents really excellent data. The forecasting a budget out 5 years, I hope that in the presentation on Thursday, Marcus discusses the assumptions inherent in the forecast.
Correct.
Particularly with respect to like the health costs. Do you know off the top of your head how long the current employee contract is, for example?
Most of them are going to 2018.
Okay, so, and then we have a continued increase in group health insurance, but that's something that will be negotiated, right?
Correct.
In that contract, right? So that could go up or down.
I guess my experience in Minnesota is there are things you can do, like give less to the employees, which I think, at least in my experience, happened in every negotiation since I've been around. There are other things that we did in Minnesota, like look at the cost of healthcare and what's costing us money and try to lower rates by doing preventative issues. So I think there is, but I think if you took that line and looked at it for the past 20 years, in Minnesota it was over 10% for 20 years. So I think it would be idealistic to think that it's going to be substantively different.
Also, a question on the collections, or the electronic resources in the collections and the car. Okay.
Yes.
How do you see that changing in cost as the relative share of spending to books versus electronic collections, and how that might change that as a percent?
You know, it might be a good thing to talk about in September, we were going to do some educational updates, and Shelley's here and in charge of the collection management, and it might be just a really good topic to talk about how we select what we're selecting and how it's changing. Yeah. Shelley, you're capable of doing that. Because I think that's a really big conversation. When I came here, was impressed with the level of electronic spending this library is doing. Anything else? I want to move back to that list. So then we have a four-hour workshop. We call them, you call them, study sessions. So no decisions will be made at the JPA this month. But they have a series of questions for us. There is going to be a review of our administrative overhead with the city of Santa Cruz. We have done a lot of work on that over the last several months, and the city has agreed to a 4% overhead rate, which is actually quite a good rate from my perspective and will greatly reduce our administrative overhead costs. I do think that the JPA is not in full agreement about how they would like to see the library do its overhead in the long run, whether it become independent or purchase services from a variety of entities. So there's the big policy question. There's the immediate question of, is this a fair rate for the city of Santa Cruz? We have a retroactive payment we need to make to January 1st. My hope is that we will get a recommendation from the JPA to accept this for 2016, 2017, and allow us to make that retro payment. The second thing that they've requested is library expenditures by branch. There's two real difficulties with this. First is the way we are staffed and the way in which we operate. The second is our chart of accounts, which is the way in which we do our accounting in the financial system. My understanding is, recently in the past, we went to this highly centralized model of staffing, where the vast majority of our staff are assigned to, and it's not even downtown, they're just assigned centrally, and the staff are dispersed based on activities. I have never fully seen a model like this. I've never seen a library that's centralized. But we do not, we assign very few of our staff by branch, remarkably little. And in our accounting then, very few expenditures are directly assignable to a branch. Basically, the only thing is maybe, and I'm working on trying to get the figure, but I would guess 15% of our staff and our direct facility costs are the only things I can directly assign to a branch and say, this is how much this branch gets.
On the collections float.
And the collections float is a perfect example. So it really is not assigned to a branch. So I have done cost allocation studies trying to show how much La Selva gets compared to Aptos. But it would really force us into a situation where we're taking 85% of the budget and last year and creating a formula like, okay, you had X number of visits, so we're going to divide the cost of our CERC staff based upon visits and reference staff based upon program attendance. And it becomes a very arbitrary, at that level, you know, if you're allocating 20% of your costs, I think you can make some assumptions about the data, but the volume in which we would have to allocate on formulas really creates, I think, data that's not comparable, and I would hate to make decisions on it. And so we really need to talk about that. If we want to change our chart of accounts, my suggestion is that we do our strategic plan, rethink our staffing structure, and I'm going to talk about my 3- and 6-month plan, but I have been going out and talking to a lot of groups. I've talked to all our work groups, and almost universally people have said we feel too centralized. And everyone recognizes the budget issue, but I think people want to have a healthy discussion about, can we decentralize some of the staff without costing great amounts more? And I would love to have that discussion and make some recommendations in the strategic plan. I would love to create an org chart that then describes our new structure, and then I would love to create an accounting structure that describes our org chart. And potentially we could easily do that by branch. If you redo a chart of accounts in an accounting system, you have to implement it at the beginning of the fiscal year. So the soonest we could start it would be July 1st, 2017. You would not have real data till July 1st, 2018. And I am more than happy to do theoretical cost allocations, but my caveat would be I just don't want people to make decisions about fairness around branches based on it, considering where we are. And that is going to be my suggestion to the JPA. Go ahead.
The one thing I do, I mean, I understand, I guess, the value of library expense, of knowing library expenditures by branch. One of the things I like, and that we did, certainly during the campaign, was really stress that we're a system. And I would hope that we don't, that data doesn't, if we do start moving more in this direction, that we're not hitting branches or communities against each other in some way.
I think we have to be cautious.
Not to say that, you know, that's what anyone wants, but I mean, I just think we have to be careful about that.
And I'll show you this, but one of the issues that really came up for me in these preliminary discussions is, are we a system or are we federated libraries?
Well, that's...
And I think it becomes a really essential question for our strategic plan in terms of our vision. You can see, many of you have served on this board for many years, or a board like it. There are advantages and disadvantages to both.
Yes.
Ultimately, the solution's probably somewhere in the middle, where there are places we're systematized and there are places we're decentralized. But I would like to be purposeful about how we think about that.
I agree.
It's difficult to come up with the cost of adding hours if you haven't done some sort of
cost study
by branch. True or not true? Because
it's true. So what I can do is, based upon the current...
Sorry, I'm just getting ready to do this. The sun, it's not you.
I had garlic with Janice.
No, I think
it's a very good point. One of the things we can do is just, in our current staffing model, if we wanted to open hours, how many bodies would it take?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think will be the sort of simple and dirty analysis that we'll do in the short run.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that if we can decentralize some of the staff, it can absorb some of that thinness that happens. And I don't know that yet. It's not as simple, though, as we're so thinly staffed at the branches right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can do it without adding resources. I have to say that out loud. There's no fat there to sort of, there's no one coming in 2 hours early to do the book drop, which was something I had in my old system. And then so you only have to add one more person to get the two people for those 2 hours. I don't see a lot of that happening in this system. But I do think that if we figure out a decentralized model, there may be ways to hit that critical minimum without adding one body. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but you know what I'm saying. And I just have to spend more time thinking about that and modeling it.
It seems as though the strategic plan really is a key. I just in everything you're talking about here is really how we want to see ourselves going forward.
Right. And there's some disagreement in this community, so it'd be nice. I don't know if we can reach total consensus, but I think it's really important that we have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And at least understand where we don't agree and move forward on where we do.
You know, one of the things that I've thought about is in, between the system versus federated is. And one of my concerns is, in going too far federated, would be we end up with the haves and the have-not jurisdictions. And that, I think, is something we would need to be very clear as to what our stance is on that. Really, whichever way we go, but it's easier to not have that happen when we have the system centralized.
I have seen that a lot in systems where there's great disparities in wealth, and if wealth is what drives decisions around a branch, you have really disparities in branch services.
Yeah. So that's something that I think the discussion needs to happen, and I think that the JPA, et cetera, has to, we all have to sort of agree on, you know, how are we going to handle that, whatever way we go. So that's one point. The other is, you know, in looking at the budget and the forecast, I know, you know, long-term forecasts or even medium-term forecasts are really difficult to do. I used to be a finance person and did that. And, but they still, you know, there's still some underlying trends that we feel pretty solid about, you know, payroll costs, healthcare costs, maybe other benefit costs, et cetera. And, you know, when we're talking about hours or changing any, you know, organizational structure, et cetera, at the same time as adding the square footage and doing more things with our facilities, I'm really, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I am, I guess. I'm really concerned that we'll be able to have any leeway to increase anything. You know, it's not even going to be a matter of balance in my mind. It's like, hours? No. You know, materials? No. What? It's not like there's going to even be a little room to wiggle room to start balancing based on our priorities. So I don't know where I'm going with this, other than that's my really big concern.
Can I give you my Pollyanna response?
Yeah.
So I came from a first and second ring suburban system that had been built out in the 50s. So everything we had to do was reinvent something that was already there, which is hard to do because the community's really, which is kind of where you are. You're not necessarily building new libraries for growth. You're using the money you have. But one of the things that I saw is as you build successes, it built huge political support, huge financial support from the friends, and huge use by the public. And I look at this as the example. I think this is a pretty good example of where success breeds success. And I think it's something we can learn from and grow from. And so the sort of optimistic piece for me is, you know, if we get a Felton and a Capitola done, I think you might be really surprised at the public's and the politicians' willingness to pay.
Pay more. That would be wonderful.
But don't you think even Scotts Valley has driven the decisions around Measure S? I mean, people started saying, oh, my library can look like that.
Except in Scotts, and I don't know what the stats were for Measure S, but...
But no, in other jurisdictions...
Where was
Scotts Valley?
The Scotts Valley, I'm a member of the founding member of the chapter, is the attitude among a lot of the people here is we already paid for our library, and I would bet that you had... fewer votes here than
everybody else said,
they could see themselves. They could see why it might have value.
Right.
It's not pouring money down a dark hole. It actually is achieving something in the community.
And we raise our friends group, you know, up until probably recently, I'm not as active as I used to be, but we raised all the money for the patio out here, like $90,000. We continue. We have all kinds of donor opportunities in this library, and we have big fundraisers and things like that. community really supports the library.
Right. But that you can't use those funds to guarantee increased hours or operating costs.
No, that's right. It's but great. It improves the environment here and everything's which
I guess I'm just saying that I feel like we're back to like the recession time frame when we were looking at. I mean, it was more drastic then, certainly, because we had to go. It was more of we don't want to have to lay off so many people, and that's what we're trying to do. But you know, it was where can we get the efficiencies? You know, when such a high percentage of our costs, you know, there's not that much more efficiency you can get out of.
You've been on a diet for a very long time.
Back to the CISA versus the Federation, how do you, other than establishing some sort of standards among branches in either system, how do you get them, how do you maintain equity? I'm not saying equality, I'm saying equity.
I don't have the answer to that yet. I came from a system that was, I mean, we had some branch, but this is strong here. The force is strong with you all. So
you had some, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
It was more of a system, just naturally.
Where you came from.
Where I came from. And so I wish I had a magic bullet. I want to start by just talking about it openly. Right. I think it's really, what I find about people in this community is they tend to be civic-minded. And I think Barbara rising it up, having conversations with the people about when systemization actually helps the public good is a really important conversation, because I think everybody shares that they want to have literate children in their community.
I hope so.
And many people don't, I know, because I've had so many conversations, especially, you know, around Measure S, et cetera. People do not understand the benefits of being in the system. They, you know, they understand, oh, I can, you know, put my request in for a book online and it appears at my branch in, you know, 2 days. That's the benefit, which is a great one, but they don't see other benefits.
And, you know,
and there are so
I would argue the opposite, too, is I think there's a lot of people that have no idea it's not just a system. And that sometimes it's those of us who care about it deeply that get into these jurisdictional fights, politicians. But I'm not sure the average person who goes to Aptos and then goes downtown even knows that it's different jurisdictions funding.
Oh, I agree.
That's true.
So, I don't know. It's something we have to work on. And it's something we have to talk about. But I am a little Pollyanna-ish. I just want to say, actually, there's several of you who've been on several of these boards, and I need your advice. There's really different perspectives about reserve policy. The amount of reserve that you require yourself to hold can have a profound impact on your bottom line in terms of whether you have money to spend for hours or not. But let me argue the other side. Some people call it a rainy day fund. If you look at the projections in this, it's going to start raining in a year or two, and it may be the year for saving so that you don't make these dramatic cuts that you've gone through in the past. Though I'm not sure anything could have saved any of us in 2008, that you couldn't have had a big enough fund. The current policy that was created by the former board is a 2-month reserve. And I'm just curious, for those of you who participated in that decision-making process, how did you choose that? Why did you choose that? Do you like that?
That was right when I came on the board.
I was off the board.
I don't know, I'd have to refresh myself on that.
I find there, I'm going to totally get this wrong, there's some item about needing 3 consistent surplus in order to allocate some slice of something. I find that kind of bizarre and kind of overkill for a body to tie themselves to
applied to, actually, in the last presentation, there was like over $1 billion surplus 1 year. Then the next year, there was a small deficit, right? And then you could allocate the money out. That's not our board's decision, but I found that a bit of a bizarre point. So that must have been.
And so generally, do you tend to believe in reserves? Are you conservative? Would you be aggressive? I'm looking for advice.
I mean, I just having gone through the recession and seeing what that did to everybody, staff, the public, everybody, that was our wake-up call, certainly. And maybe we swung a little bit too far after that because we went way to the conservative side at that point. And maybe there's, we don't need to be quite that far, but... It's a tough call to say that we want to be able to spend the money now and take our chances in the future. Or I'm a more conservative. I'm on the more conservative side.
Our forecast is a little grim.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of a 2% or 2 months of the overall budget? I don't know the numbers well enough to guess that.
It's
16% or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what
16%.
16.
So you think that seems aggressive? So, I mean, because you are on the school board,
yes,
right?
So, really.
So that's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
So what do you keep?
Well, we're currently mandated to have, there's a reserve cap that the governor just put imposed upon us. So we're supposed to have 6%. Yeah.
So the cap was because
they want to make sure that we're, because
spending.
Basically, he wants to make sure that we're spending and also putting in, or that we're not.
I come from a 5 to 7% environment, but my county would step in if we overspent, not if we were reckless, but if there was a problem, a cash flow problem, a shortage in payments, they would step in and help. And so with the JPA, you really don't have the city necessarily willing to step up. And so that also makes me a little more conservative because it's nice when someone will fill in the hole a little bit.
Well, we did have, it wasn't a gift, it was a cash flow issue. But when we hit that recession, the city of Santa Cruz stepped up and they covered the bills until we had cash flow even out. So.
And I'm not sure that's going to happen again. I don't want to ask them straight out.
Sign this note for you.
And I don't want to assume that it would ever happen again because it wouldn't be good management on my part. But I think the last 10 years have shown us things that we never expected to see. Now, Ellen, you work public sector, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any idea what your jurisdiction does?
I work in another county, and this is not a very wealthy county at all. And in fact, for the budget, I have to go to the board meeting tomorrow. I don't know the answer to that question, but...
Will you look it up and
let
me know? I'd just be curious.
I'd be interested in what is common amongst other libraries or other library JPAs. That high percentage seems a little high to me, particularly, I guess, the way that, in a sense, you're taxing people and keeping resources and not spending them, right? And so there's some way that feels a little odd. That number gets too high as well.
And I knew the 7-county metro area of the Twin Cities, most of the library systems were more heavily into a single jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what would happen is I was unique in having a reserve, and they would have the reserves of their jurisdiction.
Right.
So, it is interesting because in this case, the library has a reserve, the city has a reserve, the other city has a reserve, the 3 cities have a reserve, and the county has a reserve. So you can start, I agree, you can start just saving too much money, but are they willing to use their reserves to help us out is the interesting question. If it's okay, I'll just mention that we had this conversation in my conversation with them. And it would be great, I'm meeting with them Thursday, if you can find it up by Thursday, I'd love to. Because I do think a lot of public, a school district's a pretty independent body, as an example.
You're interested in my county, not the library.
The county.
Yeah. So they have one little library.
So it's probably more embedded, and it's probably a county policy. Okay. They've also asked us for a budget format that is different than what we've been doing. So sorry.
No, it's okay. The sun will move.
We'll get you a hat next time. The budget format, I think, is up in the air. I think it's often personal preferences. So I'm going to suggest we put together a little work team to create a budget format and show them several things so that they can get that information that they feel is important. We're going to have a conversation
this
about...
This is to replace the snapshot thing?
Correct.
Yeah.
Marcus's monthly snapshot?
Yeah.
Measure S reimbursements. Now, this is an interesting topic for us and has the potential to bring some cash into the system. The head of the LFFA, Rich Hill, has identified $569,000 worth of expenditures that came out of the library's budget to pay for preliminary costs to move on to Measure S. There's going to be a discussion about whether the bond proceeds should reimburse those funds. The upside is it would put $500,000 back into the library budget one time, so we couldn't think of recurring things. I mean, I don't think it's a solution for ours, but it might be a solution for some collections, for example. The downside, though, is then that much less that the facilities have to spend on the facilities. And if we only get facilities every 30 years, every dime counts. So I'm curious if you have any input on that.
Well, and we've already depreciated from when we first did the facilities master plan. So we're already not getting as much as what we
tended to take the low number in the range. So we're and time and inflation's happening. So I think our budgets are tight to achieve the program goals we've identified.
So the election, this is election costs that we have essentially already
paid out of the library budget.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that including that's a huge number.
I was shocked, and I have a whole memo on it. It's a lot of attorneys and consultants to develop.
It's
60.
And the cost to the election is somewhere $350
or around. It's everything we did.
We don't have that cost.
Okay, so that's not part of that. That's in addition.
No, I think that's included in it.
That is
included. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, so it's
I'm like,
thank you, I didn't know that.
$250,000. Yeah, we had estimated originally $350,000.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, in a sense, the system could take the money back in and choose to spend it on branches in an exactly similar way as you would spend it out of the bond proceeds. Is that correct? I mean, so it's really, the way I'm guessing to think about it initially, is it's a choice. It's allowing, giving the board a choice of how to spend the money.
And I think
again,
I would probably characterize it more as, do I spend it on operating it or do you want to spend it on capital? And you could do it by branch, but as we look at the sort of things that we've identified as our greatest needs in our budget preparation, a lot of it has been collections and hours. So hours becomes, you don't want to put hours on one-time funds. But I think we could do a lot of good with $500,000 in collections. The other thing that I would love to bring up is if we do a strategic plan, it might be nice to have a little bit of money at the end of it to do some research and development on ideas and concepts. It's nice to have a little bit of spending.
R&D.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I sort of wouldn't fall on the side of reimbursing it and using it for operating expenses. I mean, much as I would like Capitola to get whatever we thought we were getting. But, there's ways of economizing in the capital construction and still having a real good library at the end of it. So,
it's getting worse.
And then the last thing we really want to talk about is the timelines related to Measure S. Uh-huh. Clearly, Felton and Capitola are coming out fast. And they're ready to go, honestly. I suspect They will probably precede anything else, but we're trying to pull together when the other projects might go. There are going to be capacity issues in terms of our staff, city staff, county staff. So we're going to have to do a little bit of juggling. There's also in projects like this, hurry up and wait cycles. Once construction starts, we go to a meeting once a week, but the owner's rep will be heavily involved, and the owner's rep is likely to be the same person for all the county projects. So it's not only juggling the money, it's juggling people. It may be that we want to take some of the smaller projects and insert them, you know, because $500,000 for La Selva Beach might fit in really well in a short time frame, because you could do that quickly, and we may have to stagger the big branches. We have a commitment that all the bonds will be sold within 5 years, and we have a commitment that all the projects will be completed within 3 years of the bonds being sold. So that puts us on an out-year timeline. And I think we won't decide this necessarily. It'll probably take a couple months to really work this out. But is that contrary to anything you've heard?
No. I think people at Capitola just think they're moving full speed ahead. I mean, I understand that there's going to be a wait period once we have the architect on board and the design, because
right.
It's a year for permitting or whatever
right.
else has to happen. But
I think that one's going fast.
Yeah.
If it's okay, Chair Campbell, I'll move on to the next agenda item.
Yes, let's move on to the next agenda item.
And I don't want to keep you here too long. I've already taken a lot of your time. But I just wanted to go over, based upon the conversations I've been having, my 3 and 6 month agenda. So July through September being the first 3 months, October through December being the first 6 months, or the last 3 months of the, yeah, okay. So it's important, right now the JPA has only agreed to a 4 month budget, and our budget ends officially at the end of September. So in order to get that budget agreement for the rest of the year, we really need to get agreement on the reserve policy, the overhead payments, the Measure S piece, and then the budget. So we've been working hard with our jurisdictions, trying to get the legwork done so that those things are achieved. And then we really want to take this sort of long-term budget forecast and get an agreement about, is it pessimistic, is it optimistic? Are we going to create a plan of how to achieve our funding goals? I've already met with all the internal staff groups and branches. We've had a really good time, and they've given me lots and lots of feedback. We're going to develop a strategic planning process. Janice has agreed to lead that, so I'm happy about that. We'd like to come back to you next month with sort of a plan for a plan, so you can review that and give us feedback. Our hope is that you can serve as the advisory committee to strategic planning. I think that would be a good use of your time, experience, and expertise. We need to develop that timeline for the Measure S bonding and project priorities. We need to update our building standards document, which was a document that sort of created basic shelving, lighting standards that would go across all the buildings. I'd like to add a couple if I'm allowed. I know that each jurisdiction owns their own building, but it would be really nice to have one security system and one key card system and one server for the security cameras, and all of those things can really help us save time and money and staff. So I think what we'll do is make recommendations and hope that the jurisdictions will follow them, and we'll do the best that we can. And there's a really significantly sized document that was done several years ago, so we've got the great groundwork. Clearly working with Capitola and Felton to move those facility projects forward. succession planning has really come out as an issue with the staff. We have several of our senior employees that are eligible to retire, and we could see some really significant turnover at the top. We beg Janice to stay every day. it's something that we need to prepare for. Unfortunately, one of the things I think about this new staffing model is there aren't a lot of mid-management positions anymore, and so the staff internally aren't necessarily getting the experiences they need to take a leadership position in the organization. So we've got to really work on that to make sure that we have some in-house capacity to handle these changes. This isn't going to be boring. I've visited all the central and local friends groups, except for
almost all.
I'm working on it. I'll get it done by September.
Very. You got the timeline right there. We're all good.
And I really admire the local friends groups. I got to spend a whole evening with Scotts Valley and was really impressed.
I'm sorry, I missed
them. It was just really, really interesting. I learned so much. But I also really believe we have to have a strong central group, and I really want to work with Aaron to make sure that that happens, because I think we'll get huge variability in outcome if we don't have a strong central group. So it's one of my goals for the year.
I will tell you that I have been doing this sort of first pass over the executive director candidate. We got some really good people. Yeah, I did a little fear and trepidation, but I've been impressed.
And I do think there's a way to find a way for it to be centralized and federated at the same time, and we're just going to have to work on that.
Yep, absolutely.
Develop the 2017-2020 strategic plan quarter two. My goal is to have it done by December so that we can actually get to implementation at the first of the year. I do think there's some trauma out there from all of the changes that have happened in the last 5 years. And I tend to be more of a doer than a process person, but based upon the conversations I've had, I think we have some processing to do, because we need to move people from focusing on the past to focusing on the future. And there's a lot of pain and anxiety out there over the library. And so this may seem like we're taking a long time before we're making some major decisions, but I think for the long run, we need to do some work. And then I just brought up some of the things that have come up in my meetings thus far. I want to say that this is not the end-all, be-all list. It's not the thing, I'm not saying these are going to be the strategic planning, but it was things I heard like the centralized versus federated, like how about our long-term operating budget, the whole organization structure, both admin and how we organize public services, how we identify community needs and prioritize them, the succession piece. There's a lot of pain over the loss of a lot of the youth services in the new model, and so having conversation about youth services and adult services. Programming, which means we provide programs on site, but outreach is more like what we're doing with the jail, and a lot of library systems are moving to a lot more outreach, so I'd like to look at that. Partnerships, who are our primary partners, who should we be partnering that we're not. I think the K-12 school system is an interesting one that's sort of underrepresented in our partnerships. Technology.
Yeah.
I do have to say one of the things I was surprised at was you have much smaller building footprints than I'm used to, but only a small part of the footprints being dedicated to technology. And as we build 13,000 square foot Capitolas, we need to have that discussion of how what resources are applied where, and I think we need to revisit the technology discussion. And I get that California is different, but I think I think that technology is often the single biggest barrier people have to getting the information they need in our society. We gotta resolve that. Public service hours came out, facilities and benchmarking, so just knowing how we're doing compared to other people. I need to assume the leadership of the LFFA by the end of September. I need to continue implementing the facilities plan, and we need to work with the Friends to develop the capital campaigns for especially the Felton and the Capitola project. And I'm hoping that JPA will give me permission to spend some of my time and energy on that. I think the library, former library director, worked on Scotts Valley, and I think it can help to have that kind of
absolutely.
Continuity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there something I'm missing?
Well, there's no backside of
it. I just want to say that you said, that you're a doer and that you were almost apologizing that this process. I mean, this is just till December. That's not very long. So it's very impressive.
Thank you. I think it's been really fun so far. The staff are terrific. And honestly, you probably have the problem of too many people loving the library in their own way. But it's so much better to work in a community where people care. Than in a community where people don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I think the reason Measure S passed was because people love the staff. I really do. I mean, why does anybody come to the Capitola Library today the way it is? Falling apart, modular buildings?
Exactly. Exactly.
No. There's no space? That's got to be the only reason.
I just want to say that, you know, we're all new. This you were saying you've never worked with an advisory commission. Well, we've never had an advisory commission before. And I think the fact that you're new and you've had to go through all this and you've given us all this is really a big help for all of us getting started on this, because we're sort of learning a lot at the same time that you are. And I think that's been a big help mutually.
And honestly, where I've always loved the library board is where does someone in society get to have 7 coaches? You know what I mean? And so I've always found it a really, really helpful experience. So I hope we can have fun doing this.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about here.
And if you think of things that I need to add, let me know. I threw this at you last minute.
I have a question about the Thursday meeting of the board. It's a study session. And can you tell us a little more about that? Because any of us can go to that, right?
Always a public meeting.
Yeah.
My understanding, and we had something similar to it with the county board where I came from, is it's an opportunity for a less formal process so that people can have conversations, not presentations. And so that is what, Helga, you probably know, but that is what I'm used to and hoping for.
This Thursday. And is it going, I mean, I saw the agenda, and you're basically following a lot of this.
I'm kind of testing this out on you.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh.
But is there going to be a more in-depth presentation like Marcus or, you know, the...
Well, it was
interesting.
I had a long conversation with Jamie because he's the chair.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I can have Marcus get up and do the sales tax presentation, but the truth of the matter is each of the city managers and the county manager knows sales tax. I mean, do you really want to spend your time and energy talking about whether you are forecasting 2.5 and you're forecasting 2.7? Because as I look at their budget documents, in terms of the forecasting piece, they're not materially different. And this is their area of expertise. So my hope is, rather than to spend actually a lot of time on it, I would like to spend the time on those issues, talking about their different perspectives. The decision about the reserve level does have an immediate impact on the budget. And it has a long-term impact on where we are 2 years from now if the economy slows down. But I have to be, I don't control the process, and this is the first time I've ever been in front of this group.
Okay. Is it blocked out for a lengthy period of time?
9 to 1.
Okay. Are you thinking of going, Martha?
Well, I can go for some of it. I was thinking I'm not trying to stay all the way until 1. Yeah. No, I was at the last meeting, the three of us. I do find it useful to go to the board meetings because it does give a lot of background for what we ultimately will be talking about.
Yes.
Any other commissioners? Any members of the public? Okay. Thanks. I guess we have to move on to 7A now. Short overview of library boards and commissions websites.
Thank you. I took so much time, I apologize.
This is going to be very short. My name is Helga Smith. I'm one of the administrative assistants. And I thought it might be helpful to give you a really quick overview of the library websites that we have that would help you to get information on the different boards without having to attend every meeting. And we have, so we have the Library Joint Powers Board, the LFFFA, the Library Facilities Financing Authority, and the Library Advisory Commission, which is you. So if you are looking at your site, you will see three points here that are the same for all the boards. The current agenda, this is what you get in your emails from usually Yvonne, and it will show the packet basically. And in case you have any questions, you can refer back to it, you can print it out at home, or you can just look at it on your tablets or computers. The previous meetings are all archived, and so if you want to go back to something, you can go back to the beginning. Basically, April 19th was your first meeting. There's the agenda again, the whole packet, and everything is attached to it. So if you're trying to go back to bylaws, for example, which is this, you can have it right there, and it will not be taken down. This is archived for a long, long time. You also will have the minutes. The minutes are only uploaded after you approve them. So, again, they will be archived for eternity, and you will be able to refer back to them. The other thing is here's the audio, which is basic. We don't have the audio turned on, but basically you can listen to the whole meeting again if you wish. So this is basically the way it's set up for all three boards, and questions came up a couple of times as to what happened at the, say, LFFA. So all you need to do, go here, look at it, and you have all the information there, including a motion log of motions that have been taken in the past. Again, the motion log will only be updated after the meeting has been approved and So there's a month lag time. The meeting, like today's meeting, for example, will be uploaded, however, the audio, within the next few days. And so you can go right back to, if you want to refresh your memory of today's meeting, you can do that within a couple of days. The other thing I wanted to point your attention to, on the left side here, the library board's planning documents, governance and funding, those are all interesting pieces of information. Sometimes it comes up that people are asking, oh, what was the Fourth Amendment, for example, to the John Powers Agreement, and it's right here, and you can click on it, you have the whole text in front of you, and so it's an easy way of making your way around the website, and that's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, have any questions? Members of the public? Thank you. Next item is the board meeting calendar. I believe we're going month to month on the meetings right now, right?
I thought we agreed to the fourth Monday.
Which would be August 22nd.
That's what I put on my...
At 6:30. Back to downtown. Is anybody okay with that?
I'm sorry, you know how you said I should take a vacation? I negotiated a vacation, I negotiated a week off, and that's my week off. But Janice could do it, right?
Sure.
Actually, because we could talk about strategic planning.
Yeah, we could do that.
And if Shelley did a presentation on collection management.
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, and I want to get your advice and kind of encourage you.
Yeah, we need to get it
back in so that you can talk about where we are. Yeah.
I have a 19-year-old in Europe, and I promised her I'd come and visit for a week.
That's
a
long way for you.
So it's 6:30 at the downtown.
6:30 at the downtown branch, Monday, August 22nd.
Thank you.
So that's item 9, actually. And now this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.